When was the last time you were really, 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 really surprised? Can you think of that time? Maybe it happened this morning, I don't know. But have you had a moment where you were extremely surprised? Maybe it was unanticipated, or maybe anticipated. You know, where were you when that all transpired? Was the surprise a good one or not so good one? Well, it reminds me of this guy not being so good when it comes to surprise.
What are we doing?
He's gonna see what the baby has.
Okay.
I think it's a boy.
What do you think, Paisley?
A girl.
Harper?
A baby.
Okay. It's a girl! It's a girl! It's a girl! It's a girl?
Yeah, it's gonna be a girl.
Oh. Oh.
It's okay, Gun. It's all right. Gunner, are you happy?
No! It's stupid! I knew it was a girl! I knew it! It's another girl! I hate girls! Every time it's girl, 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 girl! I want to leave this house and never go back! I want to be by myself!
There's a surprised young man, but it wasn't the surprise he was looking for. And this morning, as we get close to wrapping up 1 Peter, next week Josh will finish it out. We're looking at Traveler, Where is God Taking Me? And this morning, it's the idea of surprises. But it really isn't the idea of surprises, because what we're going to talk about, if you're a Christ follower, if you've said yes to Christ, should not be a surprise. It's not a if, it's when. It's a given. It's just a normal thing of life. And for some reason, we don't think about it. And Peter is writing to early Christians around 64 AD, and he's saying, don't be surprised, because there is going to be hard times. Don't be surprised that, especially as a Christ follower, as you integrate that kind of life into who you are, you're going to find that it can be hard. Sometimes it's harder. Also, the idea that we live in a broken world and a fallen world, and so don't be surprised, yet many times in Christian circles, we feel surprised when something bad happens, when we're suffering through something, whether it's friendship, relationship, whether it's physical, whether it's job, whether it's whatever. It's like, why is this happening to me? Why should it's surprising, especially if you're progressing in your faith and you're trying to live a life that in your mind is honoring God, pleasing God. You think at least he ought to, you know, if you're going to scratch his back, he ought to scratch yours. Yet there's a surprise, and Peter wants these newer Christians, early Christians, to understand that. So we're just going to read through 1 Peter 4:12 out of the easy read version, and we'll make our way through, and then we'll get into it. My friends, don't be surprised at painful things that you are now suffering, which are the testing of your faith. Don't think that something strange is happening to you. But you should be happy that you are sharing in Christ's suffering. That seems odd. You will be happy and full of joy when Christ shows his glory. and the idea of glory again is recognizing God in it. So when we glorify God, we're recognizing God in it. When we give God glory, we're recognizing God in it. We see a beautiful sunset, sunrise, and it's glorious. We're recognizing God's hands in it. So when we glorify God, when you're glorifying God, they're seeing the result of God in your life. When people say bad things to you because you follow Christ, consider it a blessing. When that happens, it shows that God's Spirit, the Spirit of glory, is with you. Now, you may suffer, but don't let it because you murder, steal, make trouble, or try to control other people. But if you suffer because you are a Christ follower, don't be ashamed. You should praise God for that name, that you're being identified with Christ, that people see Christ in your actions. It is time for judging to begin. That judging will begin with God's family. It begins with us. Then what will happen to those who don't accept the good news of God? If it is hard for even a good person to be saved, be made right with God, what will happen to the one who is against God and full of sin? That refers back to a Proverbs. So, if God wants you to suffer, you should trust your lives to him. He is the one who made you, and you can trust him. So continue to do good. So it all begins with this idea, it's a surprise. Or is it? Peter's saying it shouldn't be a surprise. Yet it feels like it should be a surprise. And the first thing we see is it's a surprise that is fiery. It is hot. Usually when you and I are around something that is hot, we immediately touch it, and the minute we feel the heat, we release. A lot of times the things in our life that are hot, that are fiery, we want to get away from it as fast as possible. And there's nothing wrong. Peter's not saying, like, lean into, like go find suffering. Because suffering will find you. You live on the planet. You don't have to go, like, stir up a bee's nest to create some suffering in your life so you feel closer to God. That's weird. I've met some people that like to do that. Make things worse, and then they kind of think, wow, now I'm feeling the presence of God. No, it's going to happen. But it's fiery. Combining a couple translations we read, friends, when life gets really difficult, fiery, don't be surprised. Don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job when faith test comes into your lives. Don't think that something strange is happening to you. Don't let it be rocking you. Yes, it's not easy, it's not great, it's not happy times in a sense, but don't think something strange. You live in a fallen world. You're fallen. Even when you've said yes to Christ, you're still dealing with that selfishness, that sin, that missing the mark. And it just ripples out everywhere. This isn't heaven. So it's a part of the DNA of living on the planet. But again, sometimes we think that we are going to just be able to avoid it. I don't know if you remember last July, a family from our church, a wonderful family, was in Jamaica. And a young family, Dr. Franklin Carvella, 35, all of a sudden passed away suddenly, had a medical condition, and he was gone. He and his wife, 14-year-old daughter, and a 10-month-old. I don't know if you remember that, and I was texting her last night and talking about this, and Bethany, their 14-year-old, just started to get involved on the worship team. They love the church. They used to sit right back over there where the Muppet Men sit, one row up front. Some of you know who that is. But anyway, we're missing two of them today, but Scott and MJ, where are you? But anyway, I'm probably online. But they sat back there. Surprise baby, they are just beaming with joy. Chiropractor, off Jamaica, gone. And before they moved back to be with their family, they wanted to have the little 10-month-old dedicated. Remember that? And then Bethany wanted to get baptized. So losing her father at 14, my mom lost her father at 16. Heard the stories about the impact of that. Some of you might have those experiences in your life. That's heavy, heavy lifting. Yet instead of being angry at God, she wasn't happy with God, but being like angry and leaning away, she leans in. She gets baptized, and I just want to show you just a glimpse of her baptism story from that Sunday. I think it was back in, might have been July or August of last year when we did this.
I would like to get baptized because I think it's something that I really want to show my faith to and publicly, and I want to really show that I do love Jesus, and I want to take the next step towards that. The people who helped me grow closer to God and actually get to know him are my parents. It started with my mother, but then it started with my father, and together as a team, I guess we kind of grew more. When life is tough, I bring it first to the Lord. I will pray. I will try to kind of give all of my burdens towards him, my troubles, anything that may be on my mind, and start there, and then possibly go to my parents. Coming to the Lord, praying, crying my heart out to him helps a lot. It gives me the strength. It gives me comfort and peace knowing that even though physically I don't have a father, spiritually, I've always had a father. Spiritually, I have brothers and sisters across the world who maybe someone can relate, maybe somebody can, you know, understand. And again, it all comes with God's peace. It comes with spending time with God, involving God. You have to talk to him, and that's what's personally helping me.
So why don't we think there should be suffering? Why do we think that as a Christ follower, you should have some kind of protective shield around you? And as a 14-year-old, you don't lose a father. A 10-month-old doesn't ever know the father. Why do we think that? And some of that is because of this idea of outrageous prosperity gospel. Gospel, good news, but it kind of goes prosperity gospel. And really, it is outrageous. You know, the televangelist that says, you know, send this money in so that you'll be healed. This idea that if you're faithful to God, then life goes easy. So if there's suffering in your life, if you have health issues, you just must not be praying hard enough. You just must not be good enough. There's something wrong. But if you're really in tune with God, you should be rich and have everything you want. Should be healed in an instant. That doesn't mean we don't believe that God doesn't heal anymore. Doesn't believe that God doesn't answer prayers anymore. But this idea, this marketing that as a Christian you should have a charmed life, it's outrageous. Outrageous, outrageous, outrageous. Makes me angry. To set somebody up to think that if they move in a certain direction, honor God in a certain direction, give a few more bucks in the offering plate, whatever, serve in a special way, that God's going to bless them and put this force field shield around and there should be no problems in their lives. Now, I know at Seneca Community Church, we don't hold on to that idea. We get that. We know, again, God is a healer. He answers prayers. But we don't think because of the gospel and the prosperity that we should have this charmed life. But what can subtly get in is this stealthy self-prosperity, soft prosperity gospel. It's this idea that, you know, you know, I'm not thinking I'm going to have all this wealthy stuff, but the idea that if I kind of live a pretty good life, life should go pretty good. You know, sometimes we get these ideas from, you know, a verse like this that talks about hard-working hands will make you rich. Proverbs, not promises, but principles. But yet we look, well, if I do these certain things, life should turn out right. If I am a teenager or a young adult and I'm longing to be married and I practice purity and do all that part right, wait till I get married, then I will have a perfect marriage. There are people that do that and their marriage is still hard. The person that saves and saves and saves, does responsible, they're generous and all this, and then there's a health problem. And it wipes them out. And they never recover from that. Maybe they recover health-wise, but their finances are never the same. You see, we can buy into this at some level. I don't deserve this. If I do this, this should happen. You know, very famous, you know, teach children a way that fits their needs. And even when they're old, they will not leave the right path. This idea that we can kind of bulletproof ourselves from that. But we have to remember that a proverb is not claiming 100 times out of 100 times this will happen. It's regularly this will happen. You know, I could say that if you change your oil in your car, which is something I don't do, but if I have somebody else do it, that's what I mean. If you change your oil regularly, you do all that kind of thing, your engine will last. You'll get 200,000 miles out of your car. And that's not a promise. That's kind of like a, you know, kind of a thing that will happen unless you drive a GMC. But anyway, we'll keep going. Or you could say, you know, it's impossible with less than 8 minutes of a Super Bowl for a team to come back from a score of 28-3 to win a Super Bowl. You'd say that just doesn't happen. Oh, wait a minute, it does happen.
Got locked in now, laser focus. Gotta play harder. Gotta play tougher, harder, tougher, everything. Everything we got.
Wow. Anyway, I digress. But the idea that, you know, there are these guarantees, you know, that you can go, and these things will happen. You see, we live in a broken world. Yet we somehow buy into this soft, subtle prosperity gospel when it comes to our lives. That shouldn't happen to me. Not laying hands on, you know, with someone laying hands on your TV or whatever, and all of a sudden, woo, all these great things happen. But this idea that I should live a pretty hassle-free life. You know, what's interesting about this is we follow a Christ, a Heavenly Father. We follow a Jesus who didn't practice prosperity. He died. He died. That's suffering. So it doesn't align with an expression of faith. Also, there's this idea of surprise when it comes to anticipating testing. We're going to have these things happen. We're going to have these things happen in our lives. We had us refer to it. I've told you this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace in this godless world. You will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I've conquered the world. This idea that it's going to happen. It's the world we live in. Again, back to verse 12, when faithful tests come into your life, don't think that something strange is happening. You see, when it comes to our lives, there are moments where we, in a sense, need to be tested to see how strong faith really is in us. You ever had something that you kind of think has some limits to it, and you kind of want to push it a little farther to see if it really can do it, if it can carry the weight Maybe you lift working out. You just want to see if you can do it. You anticipate you can do it, but you just want to see if it what in a sense, let's see what this baby can do, whether it's a car, a vehicle, or whatever. And of course, this reminds me of Top Gun when he was testing that fancy jet of his. This idea of testing, see what you're made of. This idea of, will we be ashamed of Christ when our faith is tested socially? When you're living for Christ and you get pushback, will we turn on one another and abandon one another when we see faults and flaws in each other? The really frustrating kind. Will we turn for comfort, self-medicate when we have a cause to be afraid of? Do we have faith that can support that? Will we result to being our old selves when all the easy parts of Christianity are stripped away? When you're backed into a corner and you're supposed to love and live like Jesus, what will happen? What will you do? What can you do? There's an idea that this testing is positive. You know, under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Your endurance has a chance to grow. And what's great about this, because you think, oh man, this is like a setup. He's going to push me, push me, push me. I'm going to fail and game over. No. It's push me, and then I get to see where I really need to grow in my trust in my relationship with God. Do I have the stuff? Am I all talk? Or is it really inside? Have you ever been in a situation where all of a sudden it gets a little testy? And all of a sudden something comes out of your mouth or somebody else's mouth that doesn't fit what a Christ follower should be saying. And you're like, oh, it means it's still in there. It needs to be some change. It needs to be some growth. So this is actually a good thing to test the limits and see what we're made of. Remember, when God is doing this, he's not testing you to trip you up. Don't let anyone under pressure to give in to evil say, God is trying to trip me up. God is imperilous to evil and puts evil in no ways harm. He's giving you a test to pass. He's giving you like certification. Some of us have been in a job where we got to get certified to do something, to work on something. And you take the test not to fail. They don't give the test to to fail you. They give the test to you so you can pass, you can have the certification, you can move on, and now you can use that new ability, that new technique, that new whatever, for whatever's going on, let's say, in your job. So that's what God's doing. He's not doing this to set you up. He's doing this to see what you're made of. So he, in a sense, he knows what you're made of, but he wants you to know what you're made of. He wants you to know your capacity. He wants us to know how to step outside our comfort zone and go for it. Stop playing it safe. That doesn't mean be stupid, but stop playing it safe. God has so much more for each one of us. If we'd lean in, let our faith be tested, get the certification, if you will, and move on and use more of who we are to touch people's lives, to find satisfaction, wholeness in this chapter of life. That's what he wants for us. So because of that, we should be glad in the hard times. Surprise! The hard times are kind of like getting rid of the junk. They're really kind of sorting things out. We start to see our abilities, now not self-produced abilities, but our abilities in tandem with a living God who has joined our lives through the Holy Spirit. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is Christ's life. We're to be like Christ. This is the spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. In other words, you seeing God in your life, seeing heaven, getting to the second chapter of life. It's not that you're earning it, but you're getting a glimpse of it. You're getting that refining. And again, there's some concept in Scripture that faithfulness, working things out, being refined in this chapter of life has some kind of effect in the next chapter of life. It doesn't get you in or stop you from getting there. Jesus did that for you. That's covered. But our faithfulness, serving, not just in a church, but just serving with your life, caring for other people, not being self-centered, all of that gets shaken out in the hard times. Told you story after story about when you're pushed to the limit with your kids. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. And you're in the same location with your spouse. And it's not your spouse that's creating the problem, it's those kids. Yet for some reason you find yourself getting irritated with your spouse. They're trying to move the ball down the field just like you. Yikes. So you learn how to get tested in those moments. Craziness, all craziness is breaking loose. And you learn how to navigate that with your spouse and never get mad at her, because it's not her, it's not him, it's the situation. You don't let the situation, the hard times, show up in a negative way. You push it aside. You push it aside. Last night, Cindy reminded me that when the dishwasher is full, to her description of full, I think it can be always fuller, that it needs to be washed because it starts to smell. And I can't even smell what she's talking about. And I've got a sensitive nose, but, and she kind of like, yeah, you should have, you know, the dishwasher's full. And that was code for you should have turned it on and thrown some soap in there. And there was a split second where I wanted to, and I'm just like, it's just a dishwasher in full. All right, I'll try to be more sensitive to that. And then there was some other little thing. I can't remember what it was. I don't know, locking the door or something. But, you know, these little situations, and those are so small. But you know, those small ones in your world can all of a sudden get everything going. Be glad in the hard times, because your real faith, your real depth starts to come out. Like what Paul writes, he says, so we're not giving up. How could we? even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us. It's true. On the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by with his unfolding grace shows up in those moments. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. I believe wholeheartedly in prosperity gospel. It just doesn't happen until the next chapter of life. When you get to heaven, you have all the prosperity you'll ever need. You're just waiting 80, 50, 110 years, I don't know, however long you're waiting, but you're just making a deposit and investment again. You're not earning your way, but you're getting ready. You're going through the hard times, and then there is heaven with God, eternity, new heavens and earth. That's prosperity theology in the right place. It's not on this planet. So it's all small potatoes. If you are abused because of Christ, count yourself fortunate. If you're taking a stand in an appropriate way, it is the Spirit of God in his glory, him in you, that brought you to the notice of others. I hope God is seeing, or I hope others are seeing God in you. That's a spirit thing. If no one in your life is seeing God in you, then that might be a problem. You'll need to stop and ask some serious questions. Have I really ever said yes to God? Is it all up here and never in here? But you to be the notice of others, that's God working in your life. That's actually a confirmation that God is a part of your life. And you're going to take heat for it. Matthew 5, 10, 11 talks about that. We're not going to read that. Talks about the heat. Acts 5, 40 talks about it. The heat that the apostles took. It was fiery, but there was rejoicing. So don't be surprised. Also, when it comes to the surprises, remember, difficult people experience difficulties. Sometimes we say it this way around, don't be a jerk for Jesus. If you're being a jerk for Jesus, you cannot take the blowback you're getting and say, oh, I'm suffering Jesus. No, you're suffering because you're creating it yourself. You may suffer, but don't let it be because you're murder. Obviously, if you murder, steal, make trouble, or try to control other people's lives. The other word that they use is meddler. Are you a meddler? Are you a busybody? You get involved in somebody else's mess where you're not invited. There is a small window for that, but for the most part, if that's like the rhythm of your life, you're a busybody. You take an offense for somebody else where there may not be any offense. You fill in the blank. It goes back and forth. This is you're being difficult. And then when you get in the mix and you take heat for it, you say, oh, I'm living for Jesus. No, I don't know what you're living for, but it's not Jesus. But if you suffer because you're a Christ follower, don't be ashamed. You should praise God for that. But again, trying to control other people's lives. Knock it off, as my father says even today. Knock it off, David. Just the way it is. Surprise! Christ followers still have it better. You start looking at all this and you go, wow, suffering for Jesus, I'm on the fence. Really, I want to follow Christ. Well, I really want to put it into action. Something we don't like to talk about. We talk about God being love, and that's absolutely true. His love basically eclipses most other of his characteristics, but there is this idea of judgment. All of us in this room will face Christ face to face for the lives we live. Two different ways. We won't get into all that. It's judgment time for God's own family. Isn't that great? It starts with God's family first. So if you're a Christ follower and you like judging everybody else outside, start with yourself. It's starts with us. Think what it's going to be like for those who refuse God's message. Even worse for them. You shouldn't take pleasure in that, though. Murray was in a Bible class one time, and a couple of the students thought it was great that some of these people that were, you know, shaking their fist at God were eventually going to get theirs. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? You need the same amount of grace as that person. You have nothing to stand on. You should be grieving, not celebrating, that they're going to get theirs, and you're locked in with this relationship with God. You've got fire insurance, and they don't. Ha, ha, ha. No. That's not living and loving like Jesus. If good people barely make it, what's in store for the bad? Have compassion. This whole idea could refer back to Malachi, where it talks about judgment, talks about getting the refiner's fire, and it begins with us. And some of, again, these tests are refining us, helping us to value what's really important in life. And that's a good thing. Don't you want to know what's important in life? Do you want to build this life on all these things that aren't really important? You know, you hear the typical thing, guy works his whole life and loses his family. Who cares? What's important? Refining, letting you figure those things out, that is a gift. Lastly, just surprise. Shouldn't be a surprise. Trust God. So simple, so hard, so elementary. If you walk away today and just try to ask, how am I not trusting God? How am I trusting God? Something comes up, the minute you get in your car, something crazy, text, phone call, you go home and you get taking the casserole out of the oven, whatever, and it drops and smashes in a million pieces. Where is your trust going to show up? Do you trust God? Are you going to lean in, or is it going to all fall apart? So if you find life difficult because you're doing what God says, take it in stride. Suffering's going to last maybe 90 years. Eternity is a lot longer than 90 years. Trust him. He knows what he's doing, and he'll keep on doing it. You can actually trust God with anything. And if a 14-year-old young woman who loses her dad, and she has bad days and good days still to this effect, talking about some of the things she's doing to kind of wrestle with that, if she can trust God, if she can actually say that, no one was like giving her words to say, that was coming from her heart. If she can do that, if her world can be rocked to that extent, I think you and I, for the most part, can trust God also. Job says it this way, I will continue to trust God even if he kills me, but I will defend myself to his face. In other words, I'm going to take what he gives me. I'm going to still say, but what God, what, you know, he's talking with him. He's having a conversation, but he's still going to trust him. Even if he takes his life, that's amazing. Amazing. So you can have those conversations. You can try to work it out with him. You read the Psalms. Psalms doesn't pull any punches. He's just like, you know, God, what are you doing? Are you asleep? Wake up. You know, all these kinds of things. But if you can say those things, but when the day is done, no matter what happens, even death, I will trust him. So, when we think about suffering, when we think about traveling through this life on this planet, where is God taking us? If we've said yes to Christ, ultimately, it's with him in heaven. And we can trust him. Rather than trying to live a protected life, a cocooned life, where nothing's going to bother us, we realize that's impossible. So why live in fear of something we can't control? Rather, why not be fearless and point to God the best we know how? So bottom line, you will be fearful. Will you be fearful and live to protect, or fearless and live to proclaim? It's up to you. Peter doesn't want us to miss it. Doesn't want us to get sucked into this outrageous prosperity gospel. But he wants us to understand what is in the future for those that know him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what it teaches us. We thank you for how real it is, how honest it is. And I would just ask if there's anyone here, and probably all of us from time to time, that is really struggling with trusting you in our current suffering, that you would give us some kind of relief of the soul. Maybe externally we'll get some relief, but that really isn't the relief we need. We need relief for the soul that leads us into eternity whenever that may come. Father, as Christ followers, help us to live this kind of good news, this kind of gospel. Help people to see the good news in our life, that we know there's a second chapter of life coming, there's heaven coming, and that can be for anybody who says yes to you, and it shows up in the way we handle our suffering. If there's anyone who's never said yes to you this morning, would today be the day of their salvation being made right with you as they place their trust in you. In Jesus' name.